Okay. Am I on? Can you hear me? Yeah. Oh. I didn't get much sleep last night. I went to bed at a decent time. I was all prepared. And Megan was in bed next to me. I was looking forward to a good night's sleep. And lay down, turn the light off, and wide awake. Just till 4 o'clock this morning. Just wide awake. And I don't know if it was nerves or excitement or, you know, what's going on. Probably a bit of both. And, played havoc with my face this morning. At my age, I can't do that anymore. 2 hours sleep. You know, it's always the way that when the guys are away, by the way, that's why I'm here. You know, when you're awake at night and you hear noises in the house. I don't know if this happens. We've got an older house, and I could hear these noises. And this is half past two, quarter to three. I could hear this scratching around my door, okay, the bedroom door. And then I heard this scurrying across my ceiling. And there is a floor above me. And we've got squirrels. They've nested in our chimney. And I'm thinking, the squirrels? They're in the house. They're actually in the house. And so I was thinking about this for ages, thinking, oh no, how are we going to get rid of them? And JD's offered to come and shoot the things. So we may have to go with that. But then, so I got up, went to the bathroom because I couldn't get to sleep. Came back, and I could hear this pinging downstairs. And the microwave was on. I was thinking, they're clever squirrels. That's all right, someone who's staying with us went down for something to eat. Anyway, on to what God wants to do. Yeah, I'm so tired that if I get my words muddled up when I'm speaking, and I do, you know what's going on. Bear with me. Gift of interpretation. Oh, blowing away. Okay. One thing I need to do. Hi, Jenny. Good morning. She's not here. I said I'd say hello to her. I am excited, actually, and I know the leadership team, Pastor Clive, and hopefully many of you, are excited about where we're going as a church. Amen. God is on the move in this nation. It may look the opposite. We hear of all these laws that are going through and different things that were battles that are coming against God's ways in this nation. But God is on the move. Amen. By his Spirit, his kingdom is advancing. Okay, his kingdom is advancing powerfully, and as a church, we are advancing with him. We are not going to sit in a comfortable zone in this church. We are always going to be pushing forward and advancing. Amen. And so I just want to read Joshua, the beginning of Joshua to you. Now I'm in New Living Translation, so you can, as always, so you can either just follow or read it. I was reading this the other day, and God was really speaking to me about Pastor Clive and us as a body. In Joshua 1, verse 2, it's talking about Moses being dead. Now, we all know, you know, like, if we relate this to where we're at, Pastor Colin isn't dead, okay? He's in Chichester this morning, he's not dead. But this is the word to Pastor Clive and us at this moment, okay? You must lead my people across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Everywhere you go, you will be on land I have given you. It goes on to say in verse 6. Before that. For I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I will not fail or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will lead my people to possess all the land I swore to give their ancestors. Be strong and very courageous. Obey all the laws Moses, or Colin, if you like, gave you. And we are living by the principles that Pastor Colin has laid down. Amen? Do not turn away from them, and you'll be successful in everything you do. Study the book of the law continually. That's the word here. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed. I command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua then commanded the leaders of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land your God has given you. And I really believe that the evening that we had in January, you know, January the 17th, when many of us came together here, and Pastor Clive was laying out the vision for this church, this was like Joshua saying to the people, we are going in. Are you coming? Amen. And the response, hopefully, from verse 16... they answered Joshua, we will do whatever you command us. We will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses, Colin, whatever. And may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your word and does not obey your every command will be put to death. You didn't hear that, did you? So be strong and courageous. Amen. Hopefully that's our response. We don't want to be stoning anybody. But... you know, going into the promised land that God has given us, whether that's promises for your life or physically taking this land that God has said. God spoke to the church when it began many years ago about taking the 25-mile radius around here for him. And it's like 14, 15 years later, God's giving strategy to do that. God's giving strategy to Pastor Clive and the leadership here to actually go in and take the land. We're on the verge of fulfillment promises being fulfilled for our lives, for this area, and for this nation. Now that is going to involve challenges and battles for every single one of us, because God took the whole nation went in to the promised land. They all moved into blessing and fruit. And that's what God wants for every one of us here. That we see we're moving into fulfillment. We're moving into fruitfulness. God has said this year, and he's saying it all over the nation to many leaders, this year is a year of power, of his grace, of jubilee, of freedom that he has got for everyone to step into, whether they know him now or don't. People who don't even want him yet, by the end of this year, are going to be his. Stepping into promises. Amen. Moving out of wilderness, if you like, into promises. Yeah. Out of the box. Yeah. How we've done things in the past. The church moving out. God will be giving different ones of you strategy to take different parts of the land. He'll be speaking to you about your involvement. Yeah. What's your battle? What's your vision? What it is you want to do? What turns you on? What makes you tick? Whatever. Yeah. Each one of you is going to be involved in this. Okay, whether it's practical, he'll give you a strategy in prayer. And you'll think, what? God, are you really saying that? He's like, yes, he is. And he's going to do it. You believe it and go for it. You're going to see it happen. Okay, if we turn... oh, hang on a second. I read this the other day when I was reading Joshua, and it was like, this is amazing. What was the first fruits of them going into the promised land? Rahab the prostitute. Yeah. Rahab the prostitute, the first person, they go into the land, spy out the land, they move out, they go to her place as God leads them there, and her and her whole family get saved. Yeah. Come on, Jesus. Amen. Come on, Jesus. Okay, let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah's in prison. And Jerusalem's under siege from the enemy. And the Lord sends a message that says, your cousin's going to come to you and say to you, buy a field, buy my field. By law, you have the right to buy it before it is offered to anyone else. And then just as the Lord had said he would, his cousin came and visited him in prison. Buy my field, he said. You have the right to buy it before it's offered to anyone else. So buy it for yourself. Then I knew that for sure, the message I'd heard was from the Lord. So I bought the field. I signed and sealed the deed of purchase for witnesses. Took the sealed deed, unsealed a copy of the deed, blah, blah, blah. Let's go on down to verse 13. Then I said to Barak, as they all listened, the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, take both the sealed deed and the unsealed copy and put them into a pottery jar to preserve them for a long time. For the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, someday people will again own property here in this land and will buy and sell houses and vineyards and fields. Now what's happening there? The enemy's besieging and God says they're going to continue. This is going to get bad. But I want you to go and buy a field. I want you to go and do something. It's a prophetic act. And he gives it with a promise. This is what I'm going to do in the land. Okay. Let's turn on to Jeremiah 33. Verse 2. The Lord, the maker of the heavens and earth, the Lord is his name, says this. Ask me, and I will tell you some remarkable secrets about what is going to happen here. Some of you, God may very well say, go and buy a piece of land or a house, move there because of what I'm going to do in that place. Amen. He says, ask. And I will tell you some remarkable secrets about what is going to happen here. He wants us to inquire of him what his will is, where he wants us. He's got the impossible. He wants to speak to our spirit that we will go for, that we will believe. Remarkable things. Not so much about us. I've always read that. I don't know why. I've read that and it's been out of context. It's like, yeah, he wants to say remarkable things to me, about me, about his kingdom. But he says, ask me about this place, what I want to do. He says, the time will come, verse 6, when I will heal Jerusalem's damage and give her prosperity and peace. We could say that about this nation. It's happening there. In Israel, everything God's promised in these verses I'm going to read is happening now in Israel. It's being fulfilled before our very eyes, and he wants to do it here in this nation. Okay? The time will come when I will heal Jerusalem's damage, or Britain's, and give her peace and prosperity. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and Israel and rebuild their cities. I will cleanse away their sins against me, and I will forgive all their sins of rebellion. Then this city will bring me joy, glory, and honor before all the nations of the earth. The people of the world will see the good I do for my people, will see the good I do for my people, and will tremble with awe. This is what the Lord says. You say this land has been ravaged and the people and animals have all disappeared. Yet in the empty streets of Jerusalem and Judah, Judah's other towns, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and laughter. Amen. The joyful voices of bridegrooms and brides will be heard again. Marriages restored. Okay? Along with joyous songs of people bringing thanksgiving offerings to the Lord. They will sing, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His faithful love endures forever. Now he's going to be giving you strategy. Something maybe you never thought of. Something you thought you could never do. I know he's speaking to lots of you about stepping out. Okay? Whether it's moving, whether it's a people group he wants to give you. In here. In here. Maybe he's asking you to foster children in this area that need a home, adopt children. I was listening to the local news the other night. They're saying the National Children's Home Organisation has a shortage of homes in the South to adopt children. And you know, with Kurt and Ed, who came in the autumn, these guys came with a heart and word from God that the state can house these kids, but they can't love them to wholeness. But we can. Okay? And God's going to be speaking to different ones of you to do something very practical, very loving. Okay? Wealth creation. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, God provided. In the promised land, they did it. They worked. God provided, but yes, they put their hands to work and he moved. And God's going to be speaking to you guys about wealth creation, not for yourselves, but for the kingdom. Because the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, amen? Amen. He's going to be giving each different ones of you strategy for taking the land for him. Very practical. The amplified version of that verse, Jeremiah 33, verse 6, is an awesome promise. He says, God says, I will lay upon it health and healing. I will cure them and reveal to them the abundance of peace. Prosperity, security, stability, and truth. In this nation, we need the truth. We need Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's the truth that sets people free. And he says, and I will cause their captivity to be reversed, and I will rebuild them. These are promises for us and for those that don't yet know him yet. Amen. He will cause their captivity to be reversed and will rebuild them. And God's promises are to us. We need revelation. We need the light going on, like John said last week, doing steps to freedom, you know. That is a strategy in this church. It's a strategy for freedom for every single one of you to do. I've been through it. It was amazing. And once you've been through it, you can take another person through it. It's simple. But for John, the light went on. I know for Anna. Anna went through that steps to freedom. It's a strategy for freedom. It's not another meeting. We don't want you just to come to meetings. What we put on is for your benefit and your freedom. And Anna, the light switched on after a long time. It's like freedom, and that's what God wants to give. We see it. We see what Jesus has done for us. It becomes real. Amen. I was thinking, I used to be really into a band called Dire Straits. Does anybody remember Dire Straits? Yes. Long time ago, I do. Have you not heard of them? But not impressed. Well, I was hooked, you know, from the moment their first hit, Sultans of Swing, came out. I was hooked. I was about 13, 14, something like that. And I used to go, I'd go and see them. I'd go and meet my dad in London. We'd go to Hammersmith Odeon or the Apollo, and we'd go and watch them. And it was just great time, great memories. And I used to had a poster on my wall that said, Dire Straits on every street. Let's see. And this was a tour and an album. And I had it up there, and one day I was sitting there looking at it, and I had a pair of, if I was sitting down now and had my boots resting up on there, like if you do a sitting at a desk or something, that's what the picture was, a pair of boots just sitting resting on a desk, on a table. And I was looking at it one day, and then God spoke to me, and you may think this is pretty obvious, but he said, look at what it says. And he wasn't talking about the band. He's saying, it says, Dire Straits on every street. He said, you're praying for people to get saved out of dire straits, not out of the band, out of dire straits situations. So I took it down. Now, this was years and years ago, okay? But the other day, I was reminded of it, because recently, the last few people that have come to stay with us are people that have been in dire straits. And God has brought them to us. And I looked up what dire straits meant. And dire is dreadful, ominous. Ominous in the dictionary is unlucky, which, you know, the world would say they're very unlucky. Okay. And the other word it had was evil, which we know is behind everything horrible that goes on in people's lives. Dreadful, ominous, unlucky, evil, urgent, difficult, and no escape, because the straight part of dire straits, the straight means straitjacket, that's where the word comes from. Straitjacket. There is no escape from situations that people are in. Maybe some of you today, that's how you feel, that you're in dire straits. And, you know, for many out there, That is the circumstances of their lives, and God wants to bring them to us. We see them set free from those dreadful, dreadful circumstances, situations that they're in. Whether it's physical, mental, emotional, whether it's sin they're bound up in, they need freeing from, maybe it's the effects of sin that have been done to them. Amen. And God said to me, and he said this to my spirit, and it's like, that's why I'm excited about what God wants to do. Because he said to me, I am moving on every street. Amen. He is moving on every street, whether we see it or don't see it, he is moving by his spirit. He's preparing hearts and lives to receive him. He's preparing to set them free. Okay? He wants to do it in us. When we are free, we free people. When we are free, when we know his power sets us free, we can see others set free. We have faith for it. We have hope for them. Okay? And God wants to bring these people to us, into our homes, into our lives, into our workplace. He wants to reveal his goodness. And he said that this year. He wants to reveal his goodness, that he loves them, that he cares. And he wants to be glorified on every street in this nation. And that's whether he might move you to a street where he wants you to be praying, to be active. Where you're living, the streets around you, you've got to know he's at work. He's at work. Let's turn to Exodus 33. I was watching, I think it was a Dickens a couple of weeks ago with one of my kids, and there was a scene in that where a guy was drunk and he was beating up his wife, and there was a kid standing outside the door, and he could hear the screaming and the shouting, and he could tell in him was this frustration and this anger, what was going on. And my son said to me, God, because this was like Victorian times, I think, and he said, God, he said, what wouldn't they do to that bloke now if that went on now? And I said, Joe, I said, that's what my life was like. For 10 years, the screaming and the shouting and the violence and the kid standing there, frustrated and angry and upset and not being able to do anything about it. It goes on all the time. So many houses. So many houses. And you will not know because they will not tell you. Okay? Now, in one sense, you know, my kids are protected from that. They'll never, oh, thank God, they'll never have to go through anything like that, you know? But at the same time, they're like so naive. And as a church, you know, we can't be naive to what's going on around us. We can't get sorted and then turn a blind eye to the fact it goes still going on, you know? And it's like that poster with someone sitting back with their shoes on the desk. Yeah, there's dire straits on every street. So what? And I don't want us to be a church that sitting here year after year and don't touch anybody's lives out there. I don't see a difference in people's lives. We don't want to be naive. Yes, we can be protected from it, but we can't be naive. We have to get out there and get involved. In Exodus 33, here's an amazing scripture that God's been working on me like over the autumn, you know. It's like this great grace. This great grace has been revealing that he worked in my life for me to get, you know, to where I am. And when Carl was here, Carl Beach, a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about, you know, the different things he's seen happen, and he went down the street, he knocked on the door, and it was a great story. He knocked on the door, and somebody answered. I think he said I can't remember if it was a guy or a woman now. Was it a woman?
Yeah.
A woman. And was she really angry and just shut the door in his face or something? And then he went back and she said, I was about to take my life and you interrupted me. And she ended up getting saved or whatever. Did that happen? Can't remember. Anyway, it's an amazing story. And that's what happened with my mum. She'd planned to take her life one night, and my brother turned up on the doorstep. She was all alone. She had it all sorted. And my brother turned up on the doorstep. He did often come home, but he turned up. And he was Clive's best friend, my husband. And he knew enough about God to talk to her. Now, he didn't know that she'd planned this. And she kept thinking, why doesn't he go? Why don't he just clear off? I just want to get on with this. And he stayed all night. They sat up all night talking. And the next day, she gave her life to the Lord. Now, we listen to these stories and we just think, amazing, you know, but it could be someone in your family. Just someone in your family that you don't want to go and spend time with. You don't like them, whatever. It's going on all around us. People are desperate. They are in dire straits. And you can be their answer. Be led by the Spirit into their lives, into their circumstances. And she got saved, and then I got saved, and I'm here today. You just don't know. You just don't know where it's going to go. You just don't know. Anyway, Exodus 33. And God was showing me, you know, that before I turned to him, he was at work. He intervened in my life to stop me getting into something that would have just wrecked me. And he showed me he was at work before. And his amazing grace is just, it's just awesome. And in this chapter, this is Moses taking the people into the promised land. They're in the wilderness, and in verse 14... Moses is asking God, you know, are you going to go with us? How are the people going to know that we're different unless you go with us? He says in 15, if you don't go with us personally, don't let us move a step from this place. If you don't go with us, how will anyone ever know that your people and I have found favor with you? How else do they know we are special and distinct from all other people on the earth? And the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for you have found favor with me and you're my friend. Then verse 18, Moses asks this. Please let me see your glorious presence, he said. Please let me see your glorious presence. And what's God's reply? I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I know we love to seek his face and be in his presence and love him. God actually says, he goes on to say, you will not see my face and live. But God's glory, God's glorious presence, I will make all my goodness pass before you. He wants to reveal himself good to you. He wants to reveal himself good to those around you. I will call out my name, the Lord, but I will show kindness to anyone I choose. And I will show mercy to anyone I choose. You may not look directly in my face, for no one will see me and live. His goodness, he wants to reveal. His kindness and mercy to who he chooses, to who he ordains to come into his kingdom. And God's great grace is there for me, it's for you, it's for all of us. And his great grace is there for us to love who he brings to us, who he chooses, not who we choose. We need that great grace and that great power to see people set free from the things that they're in. That card you read out this morning about that person, was it 49 years or something? Just serious mental issues. There are so many people out there with serious mental issues. And Jesus died to set them free. Amen. And some people, there are some things that we get released from and healed from straight away. And there are other things that have gone in our lives that have taken a toll on us, that we walk people through to a place of healing. We love them to that place of healing. We keep going with them until the light switches on and their mind is free. Their body is free. And we need the grace and power of God to see that reality in people's lives. Maybe our fulfillment, our fruit that's waiting for us, is another person. We all have needs and desires that we want fulfilled. But you know, maybe our fulfillment, real fulfillment, comes from seeing others' lives changed. Amen? Souls saved. I just want to, because I don't want to be accused of just being in the Old Testament and do the whole gospel and go to the New Testament. Is that all right? You'd be surprised. Right, John. John chapter 1. It's weird what people pick up on, isn't it? I hear this from my husband. So I'm preaching from both. John 1, verse 14, okay? So the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. We have all benefited from the rich blessings, verse 16. We have all benefited from the rich blessings he brought to us, one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but his only Son, who is himself God. He's near to the Father's heart, and he has told us about him. And we want to be a people who are near to the Father's heart. When we're near to the Father's heart, we'll get his heart, and we'll get his heart for people. And you may have noticed that I don't get up here that often. When I do, I end up talking about the same thing. It's God's heart for souls. Okay, and for me, you know, that's what makes me tick, I guess. In John 4, Jesus has spent time with a woman at the well. And, you know, for him to do that, to be speaking to a woman, to be speaking to a Samaritan, all the rest of it, she was a sinner, Jews didn't go near them, was an amazing thing for him to be doing, especially in the eyes of his disciples. So they come up to him afterwards and they're like, they're astonished to find him talking to a woman. And then they said, what do they say? They urged him to go and get some food. No, he said, I have food you don't know about. Who brought it to him? The disciples asked each other. And Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Now, God wants us to have that same heart and the same burden and drive, that same hunger inside of us that's not satisfied by anything else but seeing a soul changed. Okay? That burden, God's put a burden in me. And sometimes it's just like, sometimes it's massive and I can't shake it. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you're just carrying somebody and their circumstance that is so bad and you long to see God break them free from it. And there's that waiting period, you know, and it is a burden. But it's Jesus' heart is to touch the untouchable, to be willing to reach out. He gave his life. We don't have to go through that. There's a burden he wants us to carry. I know his burdens are light and easy, but there's something that fuels us. There's a hunger in us that's more than just mere food and mere fulfilling our need, but it's fulfilling the heart of God. Amen. This whole thing about being led by the Spirit that Pastor Clive's been, you know, like Anne Collin, that have been talking about for quite a while now. Being led by the Spirit and being available. And we're like, yeah, God, lead us by your Spirit. We want to be available. We want to see miracles. We want your power released. And he says, go to that person and see power released in them, no matter how long it takes. What it costs you. See my power release, set them free. Be led by the Spirit to go to a prostitute. This word is from God. They went into the promised land and they went to a prostitute. We are going to be going to these people. In the 25-mile radius, when it gets divided up, we have prayer houses and teams going out. And I know they already are. There are spies in the land at this moment. And they're going to be going to the prostitutes. So it's exciting. I always feel like it ends up sort of getting heavy and quiet. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's exciting. Is that all right? Anyway, I've finished. But we need to respond to the Lord. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the call on us, your people, Lord. We thank you for your call on this church, Lord, to advance, Lord, to advance like your kingdom is advancing forcefully, Father. And Lord, we want to respond with yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we will go. Yes, Lord, we will go where you send us, Lord. Father, we want to be people that ask you what is on your heart. Ask you, what are you going to do in this place? You look over this earth for people whose hearts are turned towards you. We want our hearts to be listening. Open, Lord, to your voice, to the impossible, to go the extra mile, Lord. That you find a people that will go, that will carry your heart, Lord. Jesus. Shokuna ramande kina ramande. You just respond from your own heart now. You just respond to the Lord. You speak to him what you want to say, to his call on you today. You speak to him. Don't go quiet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You require obedience from us. Obedience, Lord, to your word, to your leading of the Spirit, to go where you are going, Lord, to the streets where you are moving, to the houses and lives that are around us, Lord, in our families, Lord, in our families, Lord, those that don't know you, those that are in dire straits, God. Kuraba shekende kina romonde kina ramande. Koko kuno romonde de kina raba shekende. Koya ramande kina ramande kina raba shekende. Kekeya ramande kina robo shekende. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if there's anybody here this morning who feel like they are in was dreadful, urgent, unlucky, evil circumstances. That you're in a straitjacket, that there's no escape. You may be in sin, you may be being abused, and no one knows. You can't tell anybody. Well, God knows. And Jesus died on the cross that you'd be set free from every evil, every bondage, every sin, every effect of sin, effects of sin in our lives. If there's any of you here today, you now can acknowledge before God, He is the only way free. Acknowledge before Him right now that He is the only hope that you have. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is freedom. He is freedom. If you can acknowledge that in your own heart this morning, that He is freedom, you can. I know some of you wouldn't be able to put your hand up, but if you are in those situations that you feel like that in your mind or it's physical, whatever, if you need healing, you're bound up, you need healing, I want you to put your hand up because you're just acknowledging to God that He is the one that can set you free, that He is your hope today, He is freedom today. Yes. If that's you and you can put your hand up please, and we want to pray for you. If you know you're in something and you can't, then that's fine. Because I was with somebody last week who couldn't come to the front, but God still met with her where she was. And I know some of you are in situations like that. I want you to acknowledge right now to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Koko kuna ramande de kina rabakish gerende. Koya ramande de kina rabashekende. Right, as a body, let's exercise our faith, okay? We want to see these people set free. And anybody that's on your mind, in your heart now, that you know is going through something like this, exercise your faith. We want to see them set free. We're going to bind and loose, and then I want to read a scripture out that God's given specifically, okay? In the name of Jesus, we take authority over every demonic power sent against these people. We bind you and we command you to stop in the name of Jesus. We bind you right now and say, get out of these lives. We plead the blood of Jesus over these lives today. We thank you, Lord. We speak and loose your freedom by the power of your blood, Lord Jesus, shed on the cross. We declare your freedom today. We declare healing. We declare wholeness. We declare deliverance. We declare salvation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, for any of you who have just sort of acknowledged that, I just want to read the scripture, okay? Oh, I just want everyone to shut their eyes and just receive these words, because it's for people here today. It's for people that you're going to meet. Amen. We're going to speak this into the spirit and into people's lives today. This is from the Amplified, Jeremiah 33, verse 6. God says, and just receive this, okay? This is His word that's going to be active right now in your life by faith. I will lay upon you health and healing. I will cure you. And I will reveal to you abundance of peace, prosperity, security, stability, and truth. I will cause your captivity to be reversed. Amen. and I will rebuild you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Cool. Thank you, Jesus.